What does the Bible teach about women prophesying and about women keeping silent in church? That somewhat controversial subject is what we're going to cover on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you and doing our best to answer them. You can send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. Well, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to lead off in this discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus, where sometimes we go through books of the Bible, sometimes we cover theological topics, and sometimes we're taking Q&A, and that's what we're doing today. We're taking your questions. Here's a question from Chris. Chris says, I've read some of Bob's articles on women in the church. And he says, about women in 1 Corinthians 11 prophesying, I believe that you had said, Bob, that this must be happening outside of the meeting of the church.
Because
within the meeting, they would be silent. So if they're not silent, it must not be the meeting. And so his question is, the gifts of the Spirit, Paul says, is for edifying of the body. How are women edifying the body by speaking in tongues and praying if they aren't doing it at church with other believers and interpreters there?
Okay, this is a great question that Chris is raising. I think it illustrates that we are building up the body of Christ doing many things outside of the local church. For example, you and I right now doing this podcast, this is not a church.
Right.
GES is not a church. We're a parachurch ministry. We come alongside the local church to help. We're trying to build up many, many local assemblies around the world through this podcast. We're not even a member of Chris's church, and yet hopefully we're building him up, and if we are, we're building up his church.
Yeah.
In the same way, lots of people have said, and I don't know if you've heard this, Sean, that all of the people who've gone before us, all the saints who've died and who have written things and left a legacy for us, they're all building up the church today. So even though I don't agree with everything, for example, that John Nelson Darby wrote or John Calvin wrote or Martin Luther wrote, I can benefit from reading those things, and that in turn helps my local body, right?
Right.
And so when a woman would pray or prophesy outside of the meeting of the local church, the whole purpose of that is to edify the body, to build up the body. Now, the question is, what is the meeting of the church? Now, we find this in 1 Corinthians when he's discussing and tells women to keep silent later in chapters 14 and 15. But he also says the same thing in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that women are to keep silent in the church. And I understand the church meeting to be what's called the Lord's Supper. Some people call it the remembrance meeting. Some people call it communion. But communion really isn't a whole church service. At our church, Victor Street Bible Chapel, we have a whole separate service called the Lord's Supper meeting. We meet, and the whole meeting revolves around the types of things Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 Timothy chapter 2. In that meeting, women keep silent. Women don't ask questions. In fact, Paul says, let them ask their husbands at home. Women are silent in that meeting, and it's only after that meeting ends that women can then interact. But we have a Bible teaching hour, and during that time, women can ask questions. Typically, we don't take questions from the sermon, but we could.
Right.
And if we did, women would be free to ask questions. Women would be free, theoretically, we don't do this, to speak in our Bible teaching hour. They wouldn't be free to teach in the Lord's Supper meeting.
Right.
And so I think what he needs to understand is that is one specific meeting, the Lord's Supper meeting, and that anything outside of that, women can teach, they can pray, they can prophesy. So, for example, a home Bible study, I see no reason why a woman couldn't teach a mixed home Bible study with men and women. I see no reason why a woman couldn't speak at a conference with men and women present.
Because it's not the meeting of the church.
It's not the meeting of the church. And if you go to a seminary or Bible college, is it wrong for a woman to be one of the professors and to teach men? I think not.
So if I understand you correctly, the meeting of the church is a very specific time when the Lord's Supper is being celebrated.
Right.
And during that time, that's when women being silent, that's when that rule applies. But outside of that hour or 2 hours, if believers come together then women are allowed to speak and ask questions and pray and prophesy. Well, maybe not, you know, you're a cessationist, so not a whole lot of prophesying going on. But
right.
outside of that two-hour meeting, all through the week, the rest of the week, women are allowed being vocal.
Okay, and this reminds me of several things. Number one, remember there was a man named Agabus who was a prophet, and he said that Paul was going to Jerusalem and he was going to be in bondage. This was not in the meeting of the local church when he told him this. Prophecy was a gift that was used outside the meeting of the local church. And the other thing to keep in mind, I think, Sean, is that if you're in a typical church, like, for example, your church, you don't have a separate meeting called the Lord's Supper meeting. You'll have communion,
right.
but it's at the end of a service, and it's not even every week, is it? It's
no.
like once a quarter, once a month.
Yeah.
Well, in my view, in most churches then, what you consider church is the worship hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be church, and that would be where women are to keep silent. But during Sunday school, I have no problem with women asking questions or women even teaching the class.
Right.
It would just be whatever you call church, in that meeting, women are to keep silent.
Right.
Only in that meeting.
To follow up with that, that's not the only time that the body is being built up, as you were saying.
Exactly.
It's being built up all the time by all the different kinds of actions of Christians outside of those 2 hours on Sunday morning.
Right. I mean, can a woman who has, of course, there is no, I don't believe the gift of prophecy is operative today. But if it were, a woman could use it. And this, the same thing, women can obviously pray.
Right.
And women, if they're home, they can talk with their husband. Women can not only teach their children, but women can interact with other men. Remember Aquila and Priscilla? They were friends of Paul who also did tent making.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they brought a man named Apollos along who was teaching in Corinth, but he wasn't real knowledgeable. And so the two of them, Aquila and his wife Priscilla,
yeah.
taught Apollos.
Right.
Was it wrong for Priscilla to teach Apollos? No.
Now, some people would say it's a conflict for them because Paul says, I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. But then you have this example of Priscilla seeming to do that.
Right.
And so the harmonization is you can't teach and have authority over a man in the meeting of the church.
Right.
But outside of that.
Well, like, for example, the having authority is within the church, so there can't be an elder. But if you work at a job and your boss is a woman, that doesn't contradict Scripture.
Right, right, right.
That would be silly, right?
Right?
In the same way, the woman can teach, just not in the meeting of the local church.
Okay. Here's a related question from Cyan. And he says, Dr. Bob, greetings. I have a question about the Lord's Supper. Since we've been justified by grace through faith alone, what does it mean to partake unworthily and be guilty of sin against the body and blood of Christ, and that we should examine ourselves before taking the Lord's Supper? There's a saying that if you don't prepare, you'll be in danger. Is it really a dangerous thing for a believer to partake of the Lord's Supper?
Okay, that's a great, great question. And he's talking about 1 Corinthians 11, particularly verses 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, those verses. Maybe you could read 1 Corinthians 11, 27 to 31.
Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And so I guess part of his question is, aren't we justified? You know, how could we be guilty?
Right.
But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Again, how could we be judged if we're already justified by faith apart from works? For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world.
Right. So my answer would be, this judgment is temporal judgment. Mm-hmm. It is not eternal condemnation. There is no eternal condemnation. The Lord does judge his people now, and he will judge us at the judgment seat of Christ after this life is over. Now, the unworthy manner is an interesting point. I remember debating this when I was a teaching assistant at Dallas Seminary. There were about five of us that were teaching assistants, and we had one of the professors that we were working for, and he was kind of supervising us, and we got to discussing this. And I remember I was discussing this with one of the other teaching assistants, and he said the unworthy manner would be you haven't examined your life to see if there's some unconfessed sin. And my response to him was, if you look at the context, the unworthy manner would be to partake of the Lord's Supper without recognizing this is the body and blood of Christ as a memorial. So that when we take of the cup, this isn't just wine. This is a memorial of the blood of Christ. When we take of the bread, it's not just bread, but it's a memorial of the body of Christ that was broken for us. And what the Corinthians were doing, some of them were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper.
Right.
And so Paul says in verse 30, "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you." That was judgment because they were not having the right attitude toward the Lord's Supper. And many sleep. That is, many of them in the church of Corinth had already died because of this. The unworthy manner would be to treat this as any other meal, to just treat this with a cavalier attitude.
Right.
If you do that, you bring judgment upon yourself. The issue is not unconfessed sin. Obviously, every believer should be confessing all the sins we're aware of all the time.
Sure.
We should never come to a meeting and go, okay, now's the time to confess my sins, and I haven't confessed my sins in a week.
Yeah.
The point is, the Lord wants us to confess our sins as we're aware of them, and that's how we walk in the light. Mm-hmm. So I take it for granted when we come to the Lord's Supper meeting, we're already acknowledging our sins, etc. The issue here is, I need to make sure I have the right mindset coming into this meeting. If I don't, I'm bringing judgment upon myself.
Right. Do you think there's a difference here between judgment and child training?
Yes, I do. Although judgment is a type of child training is broader. God uses child training on both the obedient and disobedient believer. But the type of judgment here is only for the disobedient believer.
Well, thank you for those thoughts, Bob. And these questions really highlight the importance of the Lord's Supper. Some people think that evangelicals don't take it as seriously as, say, Catholics or Anglicans or the Orthodox. But that's not true. We just take it seriously, but in a different way. And I think the Bible puts a seriousness on it that many of us don't recognize, but you brought it out very nicely. Thanks, Bob. If you have any questions about the Lord's Supper or any other topic, please send them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to ask the question, is faith a choice? You're not going to want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.